May the Spirit of God permeate this sanctuary as we offer grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ to all who gather on Pentecost Sunday 2025. Thanks for joining worship in person, and also those who join online through the Ministry of Facebook live stream. I am Pastor Mark McCormick, and this service originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. And as always, I am joined by our worship team, our production engineer, and our special musicians who are members of the Mayflower Chancel Choir. Now, the choir does not normally sing during the summer months, but will be singing for the ordination service later today. So Barb thought, why not this morning? And the choir responded. So, thank you, choir. And this morning's liturgists are Jen Hall and Pastor Rachel Garris. Speaking of ordination, Marjorie Briggs will be ordained this afternoon. You've been hearing about this at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary during a special service preceded by a vicinage council to be held in the Friendship Center at 3 o'clock. What's a vicinage council, you might ask? Now, Terry, I didn't talk to you about this ahead of time, but if you would, I'd like you to give this congregation a little heads up on that. Terry is the moderator. By the way, it's Reverend Terry Bobzien. He is the retired pastor from the Pittsford Congregational Church. He's the moderator for today's Vicinage Council. And he's my dear friend and lives in near Indianapolis with his wife, Loretta, who is gracing our pews today. So Terry comes now to bring greetings and to help us understand a little more about what a Vicinage Council is, a very important part of congregational polity. You need a microphone?
Greetings. A vicinage council, it's an odd old English word, which you would never hear anywhere outside of Congregationalism. V-I-C-I-N-A-G-E originates from the word we would know as vicinity. So the churches of the vicinity, in this case, largely those from the Central Michigan Association, have been invited to this ordination council. It's called an Ecclesiastical Council of the Vicinage. And that's very proper terminology. And it's really basically just to examine the work, the faith, and the preparation of Marjorie for the Christian pastorate. So we will be examining that as a council. It is a relatively closed, you're welcome to attend. There are invited guests who are voice with no vote. And there are voting members of the council, the congregations who've been invited. So we certainly invite you to attend if you're curious a little bit about what a vicinage council is like. And secondly, we especially invite you to the ordination service at 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Enough said. Terry, thank you. Appreciate that. Terry has been my mentor from day one in the congregational way. Thank you, Terry. And by the way, the Vicinage Council will be held in the Friendship Center. The ordination service will be here in the sanctuary. The plans continue toward the construction of a bathroom on the same floor as the sanctuary. Many of you have been hearing about that. Our leadership team, building committee, and trustees have been working diligently to help make this happen. Our Mayflower moderator, Tom Hacker, comes now to give us an update on the project. Tom?
First, an update on my finger.
No one thought we were
going to
stop before me.
There we go.
Jen's a little stand.
Okay.
There you go.
So, what happened was I managed to slam my finger under a 200-pound dock section Memorial Day weekend at the cottage. And, you know, I got thinking about it afterwards. I got thinking, you know, on the positive part of this is if you had the choice to slam a finger, it would probably be your middle finger for two reasons. Number one, you don't use your middle finger that often. And number two, you shouldn't be using your middle finger that often. Okay. So here's what's been happening with the Bel Air Porch Edition. We're looking at ways to cut costs. And one of our biggest expenses in this project is our handicap lift. Our current lift is approximately 4 feet wide and was reconstructed a few years back to include a womanized wood structure, and it's in good shape. And it does not have to be compliant with ADA because we are a religious organization. We're exempt. So the original plan had been to construct an additional ramp, replace this one with a Taj Mahal ramp. And we're talking multi thousands of dollars of ramp constructed out of concrete, heated, unbelievable. So bottom line is we are looking into the possibility of keeping our existing ramp, changing the footprint of the building so that the entrance would be on the ramp, would still be at the top of the ramp. There would be a side door, but we would include a front door to our porch with steps, double door, so you would have two entrances to our front entrance with the ramp and with a double door entrance like you normally would. So we're looking at that because we really feel that we could save quite a bit of money in doing this. The new design would include a double door entrance on Bel Air Street with an approach and a landing and an ADA door at the top of the ramp. We're close to getting bids on our number one choice of architectural firm, which is Russ Peabody of the Peabody Group Architects. Once we have drawings and plans and specs, our contractor, which is RC Contractors, can come up with drawings and zero in on an accurate budget. Once we have a budget, we will know what type of capital campaign we're looking at. The absolute great news about raising money for our new addition was that we received a gift from Plymouth Congregational Church in the amount of $66,000 a few weeks ago or so that probably a lot of you didn't know about. We announced this after church in the Friendship Center. And as a result of the Plymouth gift, we feel that this job of maintaining a campaign fund and pledge going forward is just unbelievable to start with a major pledge of $66,000 plus. We are now at a point where we've got approximately $80,000 in our building fund towards this project. So a few months ago, I said to our leadership team, we need a major contribution to make this project successful and easier on fundraising. Well, thank you, Plymouth Congregational Church. With your gift, our current balance in our building, this goal is going to be so much easier to reach. In the meantime, your leadership team will continue to pursue any other potential major gifts, ideas. Our next major update will probably be the end of the summer when we have more detail on the total budget and the fundraising campaign that our building committee will follow up with. We also have great news on not having to borrow money for this project. Our trustees feel we are confident we could pay for this from cash reserves to be replaced by capital campaign fundraising down the road. So good news on the front, and as soon as we have more information to share, we will pass that along. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. That, I think, clarifies a lot of things for people who have questions, and of course, there'll be more questions, and as Tom indicated, we'll have more details as we get them. Today is one of the most special days of the year or any time in the year. Number one, because Marjorie is being ordained, and at the same time, we are welcoming three new members today. A little bit later in the service, we will invite them up, but they are Sandy Axline, Sharon Hort, and Mike Judd. So they will, again, come forward, and we will have our membership covenant. You might want to read that covenant a little bit ahead of time, so when we read it together, it'll be a little more meaningful. And our worship service will conclude with communion today. As you can see, just a reminder that communion here at Mayflower is open to all who respond. There will be no coffee hour today. We've got a lot going on. People are preparing things for a meal that'll happen later after our ordination service today. But you are welcome to stay around and visit as long as you'd like here in the sanctuary or wherever today. Feel free. If you are a visitor, I'd like you to read the worship protocol, which is printed in the bulletin, and a reminder that we do not offer applause for musical presentation. We don't like to have the musicians, whoever they are rated or whatever, but you are free to offer a hearty amen if you really enjoy or appreciate the music. And we do not pass offering plates to help emphasize our appreciation of your presence in our service today as a gift to us and to God. As always, if anyone has come prepared with a financial offering, there are receptacles located at each entrance to the sanctuary, and we always share a time in worship where we present to God all of ourselves. Thank you, congregation, church, for caring and sharing that you have been so faithful doing. The New Testament passage for Pentecost Sunday is in the second chapter of Acts, where the Spirit of God gave the gift of words so that everyone could hear the gospel in their own language. Today's companion Old Testament text is taken from Genesis, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 9. And this is part of the last of the prehistory section of the Bible, where we are confronted with the curious narrative of the Tower of Babel, when God confused the language, at least according to the narrative. So stay tuned, as our theme today is God's gift of difference. Let us now worship God. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayflower. Today is an important day in the life of the church. It is Pentecost Sunday, the day on which we celebrate the birthday of the church and the conclusion to the 96-day journey which began on Ash Wednesday. Many of you are wearing red, a color which symbolizes the fire of the Spirit, which landed on worshipers and believers gathered in Jerusalem. Welcoming new members happened often in the earliest days of the church. Today we'll also welcome three new members into our fellowship. Later in the service, we will gather at the Lord's table to share communion. Finally, this afternoon, we will participate in a most sacred act of ordination for one of our own, Marjorie Briggs. Today's lectionary reading is the story of the Tower of Babel, which has often been misinterpreted. Be prepared to open your heart to the Spirit who speaks through every voice, every language, and every people, weaving our differences into a tapestry of holy harmony. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, on this Pentecost Sunday, we gather in awe, not of a tower reaching toward heaven, but of the way you come down to meet us in every language, every people, and every place. We remember the story of Babel, so often told as confusion and judgment, and yet we hear another truth today, that you scattered humanity not to divide, but to create beauty through difference, a rich tapestry of cultures, voices, and visions. We thank you for the many tongues that tell your story, for the music of the many peoples that praise your name, for the vibrant mosaic of race, identity, and heritage that reflect your image in countless ways. Come, Holy Spirit, not to make us the same, but to teach us to honor one another's differences, to listen with curiosity, and to speak with love. Unite us not in uniformity, but in the shared call to walk humbly and to celebrate your presence in every tribe and tongue. This we pray in the name of Jesus, who broke down dividing walls and opened the way for all. Amen.
And now comes the time. Actually, I can use my mic that I've already wired up, so I'll get down here. I'll ask our three membership candidates, soon to be members, to come up and stand right here in front of the communion table, as well as our pastoral intern and our moderator. There we go. It's kind of a good-looking group up there, isn't it? Yeah, okay. It's Sandy Axline. Some of you may remember, if you go back far enough, that Sandy's husband, Chet, now deceased, known as Chester, was a former associate minister at the Plymouth Congregational Church under Dr. Jesse Pierce back in the day when the old building was downtown. So, Sandy, welcome. Sharon Hort has a lot of congregational background, and she has recently come back into our area, and if my calculation is right, Sharon, you haven't missed in about 6 weeks, so our privilege. Same to you, Mike. Mike is well connected to Marjorie, our candidate for ordination letter later today. You can call him hubby, you can call him a man-panion, you can call him anything you want within reason, okay? 40 years worth, all right, 40 years of togetherness. And of course, Rachel and Tom are representing the leadership of our church. And now, I left my membership ritual somewhere where it is not, so I got it right here. How about that? So the first question I have is for them. And so, facing the three members, seeking membership in this church, the Congregational Mayflower Church, do you accept the religion of love and service that Jesus taught and lived? To love God and to love your neighbor as yourself, to make the Spirit of Christ dominant in your relationships, also recognizing that we are all human. We make mistakes, and sometimes we need to be forgiven and to offer forgiveness. Do you therefore covenant together with all the members and friends of Mayflower Church to prayerfully promote harmony, faithfulness, and unconditional love, accepting a share in its privileges and duties insofar as you are able, God being your helper? Okay. Have you ever been on a plane and flight attendant looks to the people in the exit row? And by the way, earlier this week I was in a plane and I got a free exit row. I don't know why they put me there. Maybe they tried to isolate me. But you know, the flight attendant comes along and says, where was I going with that? it's like, I need a verbal yes, okay? That's what it is. Somebody, you can't just shake your head, it's verbal, so thank you for responding, okay? So now, just as importantly, we have an obligation and a commitment as a congregation. You'll find our response, and if you feel that same response, and I know you do, then let us share together as we read in unison. We rejoice with you and joyfully receive you into membership and fellowship. We pledge our Christian love as you promised us. We humbly pray to God that both you and we may be true to this covenant forever through Jesus the Christ. Amen. And now we're going to share, and this is the other part, special part of Membership Day, is our membership covenant. So let's read it with a little purpose, hopefully with understanding, as we share our membership covenant. And I'm going to ask, just given this solemn moment, that those that can, would you please stand as we share our covenant together? All right. We are a Christian church on a journey of worship, sacrament, fellowship, and service to God and our neighbors, both within our community and beyond. As God has made covenant with us, we covenant to love, care, and support one another, and to be prayerfully present with each other as we navigate the challenges of life. We celebrate diversity with the unique perspectives, backgrounds, and gifts each individual brings to our community. We seek to provide a safe space for questions, doubts, and exploration, encouraging lifelong quests of learning, growing, and deepening our understanding of Scripture and the love of God. We pursue open and honest communication with respect for personal conscience. We commit ourselves to be faithful stewards of our time, talents, and treasures to further the work of God's kingdom on earth. We affirm this covenant with open hearts and minds, trusting in the grace of God and the love of Christ. All right. You may be seated. You may remain standing just for a moment. Our moderator, Tom Hacker, is going to pass out the membership certificates, and when I come into your homes, I expect to see them prominently displayed right up there on the wall. All right, and now Pastor Rachel and I will offer the right hand of fellowship to our new members. Welcome, Mike. Bless you. Sharon, what a privilege. All right, thanks for joining us, Andy. There you go, folks, our new members. Thank you. Maybe see it. Yeah. On this Pentecost Sunday, as we remember the Spirit's generous outpouring upon the church, let us offer our gifts in that same spirit, faithfully, even as summer rhythms begin and distractions pull us away. May our giving be Spirit-led, sustaining the work of Christ's church through every season. Let us now offer our time, our talents, our treasures, and indeed our very selves to God in this sacred moment of worship. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this Pentecost day, we come seeking the fresh wind of your Spirit. As tongues of fire once descended upon your people, we ask that your Spirit would fall upon us just now, rekindling our faith, renewing our strength, and guiding our steps. In a week heavy with headlines of violence, division, and sorrow, we lift before you a world in need of your peace, your presence, and your Spirit. Where there is war, bring your justice and an end to conflict. Where there is heartbreak, bring your comfort. Where there is despair, impart a spirit of hope. Where there is fear, breathe your courage. And may each of us be the ambassadors in these and every need. Let your Spirit be present in all we do today. Fill our worship, inhabit our words, stir our hearts, especially this afternoon as we gather to ordain one called to serve you. And let your presence rest powerfully among us. May your Spirit equip and sustain all who answer your call. Come, Holy Spirit, make us one body, each with our different personalities, gifts, and uniquenesses, even as we remember and pray for those in special need whose names we lift to you just now out loud. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Now, bless this, your beloved community, as we unite our hearts in prayer, as you have directed and taught, like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's scripture reading is from the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. You may have heard that the confusion of language after the building of the Tower of Babel was a result of God's punishment. Think again. Hear now these words. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, go to, let us make brick, and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men built. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, bless now these words humbly offered. May they be more than off-the-cuff babbling. Amen. Well, for anybody new here today, or relatively new, or not here most every Sunday, like Terry and Loretta, sometimes I like to have a little fun with this congregation. I often do, so here we go. Let's pretend for a minute that we take away the restrictions for just eating anything in the sanctuary, and let's just pretend that an ice cream vendor is going to come in and come right down the aisle, and on the tray that the ice cream vendor has are ice cream cones. And there are the same number of vanilla cones as there are chocolate cones. So how many of you would choose a vanilla cone? All right. How many of you would choose chocolate? Oh my, I think chocolate kind of wins the thing. And of course, there would be no twist. By the way, a twist is only about 30 years old. Somebody decided to put chocolate and vanilla together. Well, let's go on. If you went to a steakhouse, do you like your steak rare, medium, or well done? How about rare or medium rare? Okay, that's me. How about medium? Okay. Anybody like their steak well done? Oh my. Wow, we got quite a diversity here. If offered to you, would you drink coffee or tea as your first choice? How about coffee? All right. Tea? Oh, we have some tea drinkers here. All right. If you go into a breakfast restaurant, would you more likely order pancakes or waffles? Who are the pancake people here? All right, how about waffles? Oh my, there's little square things hold that syrup really cool, doesn't it? Yeah, I know. If you need a soda pop or like soda pop, would you choose Coke or Pepsi? Who are the Coke people here? How about Pepsi? Ooh, that one is tilted quite strongly toward what the sales figures would be. Who are the Pepsi people here again? All right, I've drunk Pepsi a few times. I remember when you could buy a 12-ounce bottle for a nickel. Those were the good old days, except it was much harder to come by a nickel than it is for maybe today to get enough to buy a soda. If you're going on vacation, do you prefer the beach or the mountains? How many beach people we have here today? All right, how about mountains? All right, we got about an equal group here. Are you a morning person or a night owl? How many morning persons are here? How many night owls? All right, Lorraine, if you didn't have your hand up, I would have got to have a church trial on fraudulence. All right, equal number. Let's go a couple more. Do you prefer, would you rather call or your first instinct is to call or text? How about call? Text. All right. About an equal number. This is interesting. If you have a pet, do you prefer a dog or a cat? How about the dog people? Okay. And a cat? Okay. Wow, a lot of cats. Do you prefer a home-cooked meal or eating out? Home-cooked. All right. I better raise my hand, but I like eating out. So anybody else with me on that one? All right. Okay. Oh, I can't help myself. If you go into a destination hundreds of miles away, would you rather fly or drive? How about fly? Okay, drive? Okay, wow. If you go into a casual restaurant, would you order a pizza or a burger first? Pizza? I'm there. Burger? All right. If you eat dessert, would you take a cake or a pie? Cake? All right, I'm with a pie. Somebody told me they had strawberry rhubarb pie yesterday, right? Okay. And finally, if you have the choice, would you order fruit or vegetables? How about fruit? I'm in on that one. Vegetables? All right. Not quite as many, but there you go. Well, you kind of know where I'm going with this. I want to invite you into imagining something with me for just a few moments. Imagine a world where everyone speaks the same language, dresses the same way, eats the same food, listens to the same music, holds to the same beliefs, and thinks the same thoughts. No differences, no debates, no arguments. Just one voice, one culture, one identity. Now, at first, it might seem ideal when you think about some of the acrimonious things that happen with differences. Perhaps it would be efficient and harmonious. I wonder how church committees and board meetings would be if we all thought alike. Goodness sakes, 2 minutes, the opening prayer, one vote, the closing prayer, and we're done. What's missing? So let's zoom out from our cultural imagination and look at something more foundational. And that is our biology, because even our genes tell a story. Science warns us, uniformity can be dangerous and even deadly. Geneticists agree that genetic diversity is the key to the survival of the species, whatever species it is. For example, crops with no genetic variation are vulnerable to blight and drought. And I read extensively about this week, the Irish potato famine, and I was fascinated. The Irish potato famine that happened roughly 1840 to 1850 resulted largely as a result of over-reliance on a single variety of potato. Anybody with Irish background can tell me what that type of a potato was? It's actually extinct now, but it was called a lumper. A lumper. And you know the story. About 1 million people died as a result of starvation or diseases because of malnutrition. And by the way, they tell me that for years, most poor Irish people sustained themselves on a diet of milk and potatoes because those two things can provide an amazingly balanced diet. But the crop had no defense, no variation to fight back. How about dogs? Have you ever heard that mixed breed dogs are a good example along these lines? While it may not be universally true, mixed breeds typically come from more diverse gene pools. And that is why dogs, we often call them mutts, exhibit enhanced traits, including improved health and longevity. In human populations, genetic diversity builds resistance to disease, adverse climatic conditions, and changing environments. It helps us survive diseases and thrive in different environments. That's why people in Siberia can thrive as well as the people of the Amazon jungle. Diversity, then, is not accidental. It is adaptive, resilient, and essential to life. Diversity makes us stronger and more enduring. Science affirms what God has embedded into creation. Life thrives in diversity. How many of you have been watching the series on television with Tom Hanks as the narrator called The Americas? That has been fascinating to me. The same idea, the tremendous diversity, and then also the microclimates involved. Enough of that. Many of us grew up hearing that the Genesis story of Babel was a story of human arrogance, trying to build a tower to heaven. That's the way I learned it as a child. And in response, God punishes these people for doing so by confusing their language and then scattering them. And I'll tell you this, in my childlike questions, which I've mentioned before, rarely got answered, I always wondered why God would do something like this as a punishment. Closer examination, however, reveals something else. People weren't trying to reach heaven to dethrone God. They were trying to stay in one place. They were trying to build a name and avoid being scattered. Their fear was the possibility of being dispersed across the earth, even though that was God's command from the beginning, remember? God says, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, which doesn't mean go out and have as many children as you can have. It just means to disperse and fill the earth with the variation of humankind. In Genesis 9:1, after the flood, God says to Noah, the same thing, fill the earth. But the people of Babel say, let's build something so that we are not scattered. It's not so much that they were building high, but they were building inward. They resisted God by resisting diversity, choosing comfort, sameness, and security over trust and confidence in the creative, God-ordained energy and rhythm of the universe. Note how the passage ends. God does not destroy them. God diversifies them. God seeds the earth with new cultures, new languages, and new communities. This is not chaos, it is creativity. I have what they call Google feeds. You know, Google knows what you like. And I read the other day, a Google feed that came to me was all the diverse little communities in Michigan that are destination towns, some of them little tiny places. The way we need to understand this story is that uniform cultures, uniform power structures, and uniform thought leads to stagnation, control, and even oppression. In the New Testament story of Pentecost, which is what we are celebrating today, Everyone heard the gospel in their own language. God's Spirit didn't erase those languages. It simply empowered all languages to communicate love. At Pentecost, God didn't reverse Babel. Rather, God redeemed Babel. Our unity is in faith. Our diversity is in our voices. And diversity is not divine judgment. It is divine design. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul describes the church as the body of Christ with many parts. The eye isn't the ear. The hand isn't the foot. Uniformity isn't unity. It is dysfunction. In God's economy, difference doesn't threaten unity. It enables it. When we resist diversity, whether it's racial, cultural, generational, theological, we repeat the error of Babel, building human security instead of trusting divine design and divine order. I must remind you, and I don't really think this is a surprise to anyone here, when the natural, diverse fabric of the universe and our country is under attack. In my lifetime, I have never seen such a retreat of our historic embrace of diversity. To stoke our fear and to divert the real issue, we're reminded of the small percentage of crimes that are committed by immigrants. Those percentages have not changed much over the years, but what has changed is our attitude and policies toward immigrants, women, religions, nations, and ethnicities, all representing a historic tapestry of the American fabric for which I am proud. But my pride is being tested as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ and as a reader of Holy Scripture. I will never remain silent. I am dismayed, discouraged, and disturbed. Now, don't get me wrong. I do not want more than anyone else to see an increase in crime for any reason or any place, certainly in my neighborhood. But my Lord, my teacher, and my example is the one who honored and elevated women, hung out with cheating tax collectors, and did not isolate himself from those with deadly diseases, and who was responsible for the endearing term that changed the world. The Samaritans were hated. When Jesus talked about Samaritans, we understand what it means to know a good Samaritan. Those foreigners whose cities even Jesus' disciples thought they should burn down. God's world is wide. God's world is rich. God's world is diverse. We even found that out this morning. God's kingdom is not a tower of sameness, but a tapestry of every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. So how do we embrace this gift of diversity today? By listening to voices different from our own. By making space for languages, cultures, and even styles of worship that are not familiar to us, but strangely enough, are familiar to God. The world doesn't need another tower. It needs bridges across cultures, generations, and hearts. Where is your heart? Thanks be to God. Let's eat. Marjorie. Well, we have a lot of things to do today, but that's no excuse. I need to be kind of reminded and helped. So thank you, Lorraine, and thank you, everyone. You have your communion ritual in front of you. I trust that over time, or if you're new, it is meaningful and helpful. It is a ritual, but let's put meaning into it as we share now our confession to God. Forgiving God, we come to this table knowing that we often fall short of all that you desire for us. Sometimes we fail both as individuals and as a community of faith. We seek your mercy and grace as we ask for your forgiveness and renewal, that we may better follow you. In the name of your Son, amen.
We have this assurance that no matter how far we wander or how far away we feel from God, we never move outside the boundaries of God's gracious love for us. We are loved, we are forgiven, we are blessed. We celebrate open communion here at Mayflower Church in the tradition of our beloved teacher who welcomed all to the supper, even those who betrayed him or ran away in fear.
It is right and a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join the unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And now one of the most important parts is the invitation that is given. We welcome you to this table, whether you are a member of this church, another church, or no church. All you need is faith or a desire for faith. This is the time when we all acknowledge our past failures, our sins, and our disappointments, and present ourselves to God, who offers us love, forgiveness, and wholeness. Remember, God accepts us just where we are and who we are at this very moment in our lives. And we'll ask a servers to come forward. And for any visitors here today, we will serve first the bread, and then you will hold the bread until all are served, and they will eat together, the same with a cup, when a cup is served. And so we'll begin with the bread. There it is. Yeah, two there.
Love is burning in our hearts like living flames. For through the loving Son, the Father makes us one. Come take the bread, come drink the wine, come share the Lord. No one is a stranger.
On the night when he was betrayed, as Jesus sat at supper with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and said to them, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Let's eat.
After supper, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and blessed it, saying, "This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again."
Let's drink together. Now we offer to the Lord our prayer of thanksgiving together. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this memorial of your love and have granted to us the presence of your Son, even Jesus Christ our Lord, when he asked you to strengthen our faith in you and to increase our love toward one another through him, our Redeemer. Amen. And thanks to our servers, and thank you, Terry and Deanne, for the lovely number on the piano and with voice.
Each other has friends.
Let us be thankful to the God of all nations, all tongues, and all tribes for the gift of diversity and difference. Let us not fear what is different, but let us celebrate it. Let our unity be found not in sameness, but in the spirit that breathes life into every culture, every voice, every person, and into every heart. Go now in the peace of God, which passes all understanding, and with the love of Christ, from which nothing can separate. Amen. Thank you, choir and musicians. I think if you took a vote, I think the congregation would say, let's do it every Sunday. But if the choir took a vote, they'd say, summer is a great break. And teachers understand that about as good as anybody. Rachel, you just had a blast of freedom here in the last day or two, right? And all of you teachers would understand that, my wife included, although it's been a while. But now we have gathered, we have sung, we have shared, we have prayed, we have taken in new members, and we have eaten together around God's table. Now, in whatever way, shape, or form, as we stay and as we go or do both, let us now love one another. Amen.